Good morning, church. Welcome to church. Want to say hi to those of you online today watching. Welcome in this morning. It's a privilege to have you with us, to worship with you today in the house of the Lord. Pastor Lindsay, our assistant pastor, I've asked her to bring the message today. This is going to be her first message to preach where her grandfather, who recently passed, who was a pastor for about five decades, he watched every Sunday when she would preach. He also watched even when she didn't, so that's also a testament, but especially on the days she would, and thankful for her and her life and her ministry and how she loves our young people and loves each of us. And so today, let's welcome Assistant Pastor Lindsay Young today.
Well, good morning. I put on mascara this morning, y'all. Why'd I do that? It was a mistake. Okay. You put that picture up for me, James? That's me. Isn't that great? That's me and my grandmother standing on the freshly poured slab for the church they were building. I was maybe two, maybe not quite. And that back there behind those trees, there was the Swannanoa River. I don't know if it was really a river. We were kind of ambitious, I think, when we called it that. But there was the Swannanoa path of water back there behind those trees. But that's the slab where my grandparents and their friends, my mom and dad, built a church. And that was me running on it because, well, it was mine because they built it. So it was my home, and that was all I knew. I found these pictures about a year ago, and this is what I wrote down after finding them. There are no perfect people in my family, but they taught me what real faith looks like, the messy, hard, wrestling faith. I met Jesus in the church built on this slab. There's yet to be a day that I've done it all right. Life and all it brings has weathered me for sure. But on the stormiest days, when I close my eyes and pray, I feel grounded by the faith that I found amongst the outcasts and the rebels and the preachers. Because we really were outcasts. And rebels, but also preachers. And you've probably heard me say before, when other little girls were setting up their dolls to play school, I set mine up to preach, too, because that's what my dad and my grandpa did every Sunday. And so it didn't cross my mind that to do anything else, but I preached. I'm sure I lay hands on them. And that's what I would do. My grandfather would preach. I would roll around in the floor and eat certs from my grandmother's purse. And when my grandfather would be preaching, and maybe he was boring everybody because he would say things like, "Are you hearing me today?" And I would, at that age, yell out from under the pew, "I hear you, Grandpa." And so I come from a legacy of preachers and missionaries. My mother's father was also a church planter. He built a church in northern Illinois, a little church. You could walk from his church through the woods to get back to their house. I'm sure it wasn't very far, but as a little kid, it felt like we hiked through the forest to get to it. They both did missions work. My grandfather, Garner, that just passed, built a church and a school in the Philippines. As of today, there are hundreds of churches that have been planted by the pastors that were trained in the church and in the school and college that he built there. There are thousands of people who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of the work that my grandparents did. And there are lots of little Filipino people who are now grown and old who are named Max and Rebecca. And so I come from a great legacy of faith. My grandfather always had this phrase when he would call me and say, "Your dad says you're preaching soon." And I would say, "Yes, sir." And he said, "Well, we're going to be watching. Give them Jesus. Give them Jesus." And that was his only advice. And truly and truly, it's the only advice we probably need. We actually don't need to give anybody anything else. We just need to give them Jesus. My grandfather, when he got to the age where he couldn't get out anymore, let me tell you something, it's hard for a preacher to not preach. And so he would write sermons every week, record them, and send my dad the CD of it. So he was preaching to, well, the church, still putting his sermons together weekly and sending them out. And also he witnessed to everybody. I remember being young and being embarrassed because he would ask everybody, "Do you go to church? Do you love Jesus?" Random people. But it was so much ingrained in who he was that my Aunt Vicky, who he lived with, and my dad, they would Amazon shop and have packages sent to the house because every person, let me tell you something, if you knocked on their door, you were going to get witnessed to. And in just the recent months, he led people to the Lord, Amazon drivers to the Lord, would pull his Bible out, open it up on the front porch, and begin to break open the Word of God with them. He told one young man that God was going to bring him to a turning point in his life. And he returned not long after that to tell my grandfather that while out on delivery, he had pulled off on the side of the road and met Jesus. And so, he did not have anything. Really, truly, he did not have anything. All he had was Jesus. And in fact, truly, I would say that would be the legacy truly of my family on both sides, is that we have nothing but Jesus. Because we are nothing without Jesus. And this world needs nothing but Jesus. And so, how great is it that my family is the wealthiest family in the world? Because we have exactly what the world needs. And so do you. And so today I give you Jesus. And I remind us of our story. I have told you guys before, I got saved a lot as a kid because you got snacks if you went back and said prayer after VBS. It's not a holy thing. The Lord's forgiven me for it. I also got saved watching a TV preacher knelt down behind the recliner in my living room and gave my heart to the Lord. Not a lot of good came out of that man's life down the road, but he did lead Lindsay Garner to the Lord in prayer back in the 80s behind my recliner. And so I want you to think today of where you met Jesus, where you met him for the first time. Maybe that first time you met him wasn't the time you really took him in. Maybe you just met him. Maybe you met him a few times. So here's what we know. This is what Jesus gives us. This is what we can give people. 1 John chapter 1, looking at verses 5 through 7. "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." There is no darkness in Jesus. There is no darkness in him. Things that are dark cannot overpower the light. It's this amazing truth. Light always wins in the game of paper, rock, scissors, in the game of light versus dark. We tap, tap, and guess what? Every time light wins. Every time. It overcomes the darkness. And so Jesus comes and they're telling these people, listen, he is the light. And there is light in him and no more darkness. And so he gives us light. And through that light, he brings us into fellowship with one another through the cleansing of our sins. There's such a focus on sins that we think are the most sinny. And a lot of times, it has to do with the sin that seems the farthest away from us personally, so that it is easier to focus on. I'm great at focusing on problems that aren't mine. I can fix your problem. Now, mine, on the other hand, let's worry about that another day, right? But I bring this truth here and say to you that the light comes and there cannot be darkness. And there is a fellowship of us because Jesus cleanses us of our sin. There's this great little clip where this little girl's trying to clip her car seat by herself. Any of you have ever had a toddler who thinks they can do that by themselves? Oh. And they're like, do you want some help? Do you want some help? And she says, worry about yourself. Worry about yourself, right? And in all honesty here today, I want to say maybe we just take a moment today and worry about yourself. Because you were in darkness and you walked into the light and the fellowship in Christ Jesus, and he cleansed you of your sins. And you know the power of that and how great it is. And aren't you thankful that he didn't see the need to post them on the wall and share with everyone else? He brought you into the light and he cleansed you. And he cleansed you of your sins and he brought you into fellowship with him and with others. How good and gracious is Jesus that he cleansed us of our sins. Going down into Ephesians, looking at a couple of verses in chapter 1. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Once again, what does Jesus give you? Forgiveness of your sins according to the riches of whose grace? His grace. Remember, we have nothing. But we are made rich in grace because abundant is our sin and our shame, but more abundant is his grace. And so we have redemption through what? His blood, his grace. And he gives that to us. In verse 11 and 12, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of whose will? His will. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. I know when we think of inheritance, we think of like money or land, right? And I keep holding out that one day, there's going to be somebody I was related to I did not know, you know? They're going to be like, your uncle from so-and-so left you $1 million. I'm going to be like, thank you, right? But I don't think that's going to happen. And my brother and I, we've come to terms with it. Our parents were in ministry their whole lives. They do not have a wealth to leave us. It's okay. And I'm, you know, hoping my children are prepared. Right? But listen to what Jesus says. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yet he says to us that our inheritance that he is given us, this is so good, is that he has given us to be the praise of his glory. This is his will. His will, our inheritance, is that we are a praise to him. This is the inheritance that we get to have. Not some tangible thing, not wealth and perfect, easy life, but the inheritance that we have through relationship with Christ Jesus is that we are a praise to him in his glory. We are praise. Our lives are a praise to him and his grace and his mercy. And it is our inheritance that we forever get to be a praise to him. In verses 13 and 14, it says, in him you also trusted After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. You trusted because you heard the gospel and you believed, so you were sealed. Think about this. Remember, if you truly have had that moment where you know that you made a commitment to Jesus Christ, was it because someone else told you you should? I mean, I'm sure there were people your whole life who probably told you you should. But there was a moment when you truly, not just heard like you hear everything else, but your spirit and soul and heart heard the gospel. And you trusted and believed. What a special realization that this truly is the gift of free will that God has given us. That we can hear and we can choose to believe. We've trusted and we believe. Think about that today in your own life. That there was a moment where finally your heart heard what it needed to hear. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That you needed a savior. That you couldn't make this life on your own. That there was more out here than you could ever imagine. And there was a moment where your heart heard the gospel. And you believed. And at the moment you believed, he deposited his spirit in you and guaranteed your future with him all the days of your life and beyond. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You were made alive who were dead in your sin. Look at what it says there. You once walked according to the course of this world. You were walking, but you were dead. Just walking around according to the course and patterns of this world. Walking according to that pattern. But he made you alive while you were still dead. There's this little movie called The Incredibles. And in it, the mom and two of her kids are, their plane crashes into the ocean. And they're floating in the water. And the little boy, he says, "We're dead! We're dead! We're alive, but we're dead!" Because that's what it felt like, right? He was like, we're drowned, but we're alive. Somehow we're alive, but we're dead. Right? And here is where we all were. We were dead, real dead. And we didn't know it. We're just walking around on the course of the world, going and coming and going and doing, and we were dead. But then all of a sudden, we hear the word of the gospel of truth, and we believe, and so there in the midst of our walking death, we are saved. And made alive before we get it together. Jesus doesn't really work with people who are together. People who have it together don't think they need him. And there are so many people who are religious who think they don't need him. With our youth, we're walking through the book of Mark, and I've called it "The Haters Gonna Hate, Hate, Hate." Some of you will catch it. If you didn't, it's okay. But Jesus keeps doing really cool things. And every time he does something cool, like heal somebody or do something, the Pharisees, haters, are like, you can't do that. And he's like, well, I just did. And they're like, you can't do that. And he's like, but I think it's okay. And he keeps going back and forth. And every time he goes to do something cool, the religious people tell him he can't do it. And every time he's like, yeah, but I kind of just did. Because guess what? I am God who can do what I want to do. And he keeps telling them these things. And they keep hating on him. Because guess what? They forgot in their piety that they were dead too. They forgot. They didn't know they needed him. And yet they did. And each of us were at some point walking around dead. And then we heard. And we believed. And then what happened? He saved us. Continuing on, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. Great little words. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up together, and listen to this, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We went from the walking dead to the sitting alive. See, when you're walking, you're just busy. Y'all ever been busy? You're just busy. You're walking, right? And you're going. And you're bumping into walls. And you're knocking things over and just going. You don't even know where you're going, how to stop, where you're going, right? And then, oh, you sit down. Y'all ever felt that feeling of like, I sat down and I don't know that I can get up, right? And this is us when we're trapped in sin, when we're trapped in a life without Jesus. We're just going and reaching and grasping and trying to find who we are. And we're going. And then right in the midst of our walking, he finds us and he saves us and he takes us out of the walking and he sits us with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And we go from the walking dead to the sitting alive in Christ Jesus. And it is so much easier to see and understand the world when you are sitting in Christ rather than walking in the world. When you're walking in the world, nothing makes sense. It can't. It never will. But when you are seated in Christ Jesus, you find that the things that don't make sense are the mystery of God. And they are perfect. And they will be made beautiful in his time. And I can sit in his presence. We sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not works, lest anyone should boast. He shows that grace to the world through us. When we protect our imperfections, we are truly and honestly protecting the world from knowing grace. When we keep ourselves so pious and perfect that we refuse to let anyone know that we are imperfect, we are hiding the grace that should be shown to the world through us. And I'm not talking about going out and listing all your wrongs, but I'm talking about being vulnerable and human and knowing I was a failure a long time ago and today. And every day, it is his grace that saves me. Not me. Not my works. I can't boast in salvation. It is only Christ Jesus who can save. It is only him who can save. In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." He came to give his life as ransom for many. He came to serve. To serve the world, not to serve them condemnation and judgment, but to serve them and to give them the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Christ lives in me. And this flesh life that I now live, I only live it by faith. I only live it by faith. At my grandfather's funeral, I almost took up an offering because there were so many preachers who talked. I thought, we can't have this many preachers without like taking up an offering. My grandma was like, "You should have. You could have given it to me." But everybody was up there and talking, which he would have loved, by the way. He would have gotten a kick out of it. But I was watching my family up there talk about my grandfather. My grandmother sitting on the front. My grandmother, who has for almost probably 50 years read through the Bible every single year. She knows the Word of God like no one else. I love it because she's not ever quoting scripture at you, but when she responds to you, it is scripture in her own words because it has become the evidence, the things that come out of her mouth is just the Word of God. And we were up there and people were talking, and my brother was sitting down on the floor with my nephew, who's like 7 months old, and I was thinking back, and some of you have been around long enough, but my senior year of high school, my baby cousin, Jonathan Chase, died tragically, medical malpractice. His life was gone at 5 months old, and it was excruciating. It was so excruciating. I had never felt that kind of loss so early in life and unexpected to be able to like process that. You can't, your mind can't process it. And my uncle, who's a worship leader, I've said this story before, he stood up in front of the church and he said, I may not have my son, but I have my song. And I remember our family just continuing to walk in faith forever. And I thought about my grandfather going up to heaven at 89, right? 89 years old. He lived a very full life. And greeting my cousin, who was only 5 months old. And there's just such this thing in life of tragedy and beauty all woven together. And time again, I say to myself, how do people do it without Jesus? How? As our church, we have walked through together some of the darkest days. How do you do it without Jesus? And the truth is that there are people who, they live through it, but they're just walking through it. And the only way that you carry grief in your life always, for those you've lost and for the hard things you've been in. The only way that you carry that grief with you but are not overtaken by it and continue to live with purpose and hope and peace is because you're not walking. You're sitting in Christ Jesus. You're in him. And so in that moment, I was watching my uncle stand up and talk about my grandfather standing over top of a large casket for an old man. And I was remembering the day that he stood in front of a very small casket for his son. And I thought, how the years have passed and how the faithfulness of the Lord has been with us every single day and how it has not overtaken us, even when there were moments. And like I said, we come from a family of misfits. We're still quite misfitty. My grandfather was also mischievous. It's been passed down to all of us. There's mischief in us. And sometimes it did not go for the right reasons. That's true. But listen, this whole legacy of life and all of the things that we do from day in to day out, my grandfather was not perfect. Neither one of them were perfect. I am not perfect. None of us are. But how do we get through life? How do we get to the end of our days, whatever the end of our days is? How do we get there with the confidence and peace of knowing that I am going to spend an eternity with Jesus Christ, that there is more for me after this life, greater in front of me than the days behind me? We can only do that because we heard, we trusted, we believed, we sit in Christ Jesus. We live by grace and mercy that has cleansed us of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. And we have walked with a Savior who has loved us on our darkest days and on our best days. We have been with Jesus. It's all you have. On the days when you experience the greatest loss that you will experience, and on the days you experience the greatest joy that you will experience, it will only be the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that sustains you through any of it. And it is only the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ that has provided you with every good and perfect gift, no matter how long you possess the gift. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. Now all things are of God. Remember, the good, the bad, the joy, all things are of God. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing, which means counting against their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled with God. So here is life today. This is my life today, and I think for most of you, you would say truly that this is your life. My life is light. There is no darkness in it. On the darkest days, there is still light. My life today is redemption, the saving power of Jesus Christ, who cleansed me of my sins, who daily forgives me and walks with me and has never yet given up on me. My life today is that I am the praise of his glory, that every day that I wake up with breath in my lungs, my life declares the praises of him who has called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. My life today is but God. Saw me and saved me. But God loved me and carried me. But God. My life today is that I was walking dead and now I'm seated in Christ Jesus. My life today is mercy and love even when I fail. My life today is only by grace. And my life today is shown through my life the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. Because the ministry of reconciling the world to God is just to give them Jesus. He is the reconciler. He reconciled you to your Savior, and he will reconcile this world to him. And so our job is just to give them Jesus. Give them Jesus. Whatever our days are, however many they are, we give them Jesus. Because the Jesus who met you even when, by grace, saved you. This year has been an interesting year for me. An interesting year. In January, I went to have an eye checkup exam. Because I thought I was just getting old. And they didn't like what they saw, and they gave me a diagnosis that was not good. They told me that I had macular degeneration at 40. Oh, that's not what I wanted to hear. And so I just kind of kept it with a few close people and prayed, because I didn't really want to accept that at the moment. And I went to a specialist, and he said the same thing. And then he sent me to this other specialist who had a really fancy title. Doctor Specialist in Hereditary Retina Diseases. Guys, you can really make up anything and turn it into a job. But I went to him, and he was like, well, I don't think it's that because you're not old enough. And I was like, that's cool. What is it? And he's like, well, I don't know. let's swab your DNA, and let's send it off and check your DNA. Cool. We did that. And it came back, and it was like, we don't know. Let's swab your parents' DNA. Okay. We still don't know. And I was like, I don't know if you know this about me, Lord, but I've never done well with not knowing things. I like to know things. I like to be in the middle of knowing the things. I like to know your things, my things, all the things. Please let me know. Tell me in detail. Give me all the details. Where are we going? Why are we going there? What is going on? I do not like not knowing things. And so this was just all one of these things that I'm like, I want to know what's going on, right? I want to know what's going on. And I don't. I still don't. The DNA comes back with this funny little phrase. There are basically things that are weird, but they aren't linked to any known weird things. There's something weird about your DNA, but it's not like any other DNA that we've ever decided that given it a name. So whatever it is, we don't know what it is yet. Okay, great, fantastic. I'm special, right? But I don't know. Now, here's this to say, it has not been a pleasant process to walk through. And I'm not generally a private person, but I have felt very guarded about this because of the element of the unknown and because of my frustration with the unknown. And it's hard to explain to your children, to your friends, what the problem is when you can't say this is the problem, right? It's hard to explain that and to live with that and to wonder when you wake up and your eyes are fuzzy today, is this what it's going to be like from here on? Or will it clear up the next day? And not know. And it is a frustration process to go through. And so that has been with me throughout this year. And I haven't handled it well a lot of days. And some days God's been graceful and I've not thought about it. But in these moments of my grandfather, we knew that he was going to pass. And I begin to think about all the unsureties of life that he and my grandmother, my other grandparents, my legacy, the generation before me, all the unsureties that they had faced and the losses that they had faced and the hardships they had faced, their own failures and mistakes that they had faced, and how they managed to just keep going. And it was just because of Jesus. It was just because of Jesus. I have nothing for you but Jesus. And it really has been this year kind of this reminder that there's nothing for me but Jesus. There's not a medicine. There's not a treatment. It's just Jesus and whatever his plan is. They told me to make kale my best friend. Nope, not going to happen. Mm-mm. Tried. Nope, not going to work. I'm just going to have to ride it out with Jesus. So listen, there's unsurety in life. And you're a mess up. And that's okay. I am too. You don't make all the right choices. None of us do. And you're going to face some really difficult, hard things. But Jesus, He saw you. And one day you heard him. And one day you turned to him. And one day you believed in him. And then he planted his Holy Spirit in you. And he seated you with him in heavenly places. And now you are with Jesus. And so we give them Jesus. It's all we've got. I'm bankrupt without him. I'm bankrupt without him. We all are. I'm thankful to come from a legacy of imperfect people. My grandmother Byers faced and battled breast cancer 2 times before it took her life at a young age. But she walked with the Lord every day of her life. Both my grandfathers were church planters. My grandmother that is still with me, she's facing a cancer diagnosis and just continuing to walk with the Lord every day and trust in him. My parents have faced adversity, and yet they lean on the word of God every single day of their lives. It's the only thing that sustains you. And this world needs it. The Amazon drivers, they need it. The people at your work, they need it. How do we know they need it? Because we need it. I need Jesus. I was listening to that song today. I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Jesus, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And listen, we have got to make this the cry of our hearts and the passion that we live life with. That the only thing I have need of today is Jesus. Really and truly, there are breath in my lungs today, and so I need Jesus. Because the day that my eyes open without breath in my lungs, I will be in the presence of Jesus. I will no longer need him. I will be with him forever. And so until the day that my eyes close and the breath leaves my lungs and I find myself in the presence of the King, I need Jesus. And it is all I have to offer you. I am imperfect and flawed. I will say bad words. I'm so sorry. From time to time, I do not make all the right choices in life. I am not perfect. Let me let you in on a secret. You aren't either. It's cool. We can be imperfect together. We just have to know that we need Jesus. And all this world needs is Jesus. Nothing can save you but Jesus. No construct of this world can save you but Jesus. Nothing can save you but Jesus. The disciples walked with him. They continued to ask him. And everybody around him wanted to take him to take a throne and take physical authority over this world. And he would not do it because truly and honestly, there is no construct in this world that will ever be able to overpower the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The only answer is Jesus. It's the only answer. You have no other one but Jesus. You have no other one but Jesus. So can you remember the day that you met Jesus? Do you remember the day that you called out to Jesus? Do you remember that day that you turned and you believed? And if that day seems so far away to you today, there is always today. It's the great thing about Jesus. He just keeps setting up shop in your heart every day and opening the doors. Just every day. He's always there. He doesn't close on Sundays. He's always there. My grandfather took his final breath at 9:22. Psalms 92:2 says, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. May that be our testimony today. Lord, may we declare your loving kindness every morning and your faithfulness every night, because it is only Jesus. Can we pray today? Lord, today I thank you for a legacy of faith that I do not take for granted. And I know today there are many sitting in this room, and they may be the beginning of the legacy within their family. They may be the starting point of faith. But Lord, today, wherever we are in our walk, in our starting points, in our comings, and in our goings, Lord Jesus, we just need you. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. So, Lord, we cry out to you today. We ask for your forgiveness, that you would come, you would cleanse us, and you would wash us of our sins. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Forgive us. In your heart, begin to pray and ask that, God, forgive me of my failures, my mistakes, the times I have let myself down, that I have chosen not to walk with you, that I have strayed from your path. God, I ask for your forgiveness to come and wash over me and cleanse me of my sins. May I walk in righteousness with you. May I be crucified with Christ and live as you have called me to live. Father, I pray and I ask for your forgiveness. I thank you for being my Savior, the one who loves me continuously and without fail. Thank you for being the God who saw me in the midst of my walking around in this world and turned me around and picked me up. May my life always be a praise to your glory. May my every breath be a praise to your glory and yours alone. Lord, today I pray and ask that you would be with each and every one of us. May we remember daily that all we need is Jesus and that all we have to give is Jesus. It is you in whom we have our moving, our living, our every being. And you are exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Give us Jesus, and may we give him to those around us. May we declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.